We are now embarking on What's Happening and interview a community leader, and then Kenny Blumenfeld will come on at the end of it. Today we have Derek Passy. He will be on in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. You're listening to What's Happening on KTWH, and Derek Passy is with me this morning. Derek is a city councilor and also a member of the Lake County Soil and Water. Thank you so much for being with me in person in the studio this morning, Derek. So great to have you.
Well, it's kind of great to be able to get out again and start seeing people and shaking hands.
I know it. What a pleasure. And you know, it's been kind of a lonely place here in the radio station for a long time, and two people is in a crowd, but it sure is fun to be seeing what feel like long-lost friends coming into the studio and being right here with me. So thanks for being here, and let's see. We have a lot going on, starting to go on, I'd say, in the community, but as we humans go on, the bees also go on. Tell us a little bit about the pollinator projects happening with Lake County Soil and Water, and what's the importance of that?
Yeah, last year, the Lake County Soil and Water worked with the City of Two Harbors to put in some pollinator plantings, and there's one at the entry sign on the way into Two Harbors. There's one at the Chamber of Commerce Visitor Center.
Oh, yeah.
And probably the most visible one is the one that's at the public library. Now, the first two are kind of out in a way. You don't really see them that much, but we did get a lot of comments regarding the one at the public library that they didn't like the look of it with the trees there. And the white mat is not really aesthetically pleasing. Mm. And so today, as we speak, we are spreading wood chips on that, and it really looks nice. The city provided the wood chips from trees that they chipped at the new wastewater treatment plant expansion, and we've got a Conservation Corps crew spreading the chips this morning.
Nice. And now tell us the long-term plan for, like, why did you take out, you know, perfectly good grass and put in some native plants and pollinators in there?
Well, I guess the first one, which should strike near and dear to you, is 1 hour of lawnmower equals 100 cars.
Right.
And that it's just, you think about that. If we can get rid of 1 hour of mowing lawn, that would be great. And that's part of what we did, is we did eliminate the mowing needs there. And so maintenance is, you cut the seed stalks down in the spring and pull a few dandelions that pop up. And then the added benefit is we've got areas for pollinators. Now, pollinators aren't just bees and butterflies, but also they include hummingbirds. And I don't know, I don't know of anybody who can't smile when a hummingbird flies by.
Right. Not to mention their critical role in keeping every other plant going and producing year after year. So you're right. I am fully on board with that, and the lower carbon footprint is certainly a big part of that too. And so, but all right. So aesthetics count also. What's this going to look like in the long run?
Aesthetics, it will look like a landscaped area. If you want to see one that looks more grown, the one behind Castle Danger, there's a couple of rain gardens that have the same type of plantings, and they've matured and are really self-sustaining at this point with just a little bit of weeding, and they do a great benefit there as far as water quality, because that's also where all the rain roof drainage goes from Castle Danger.
Hmm. And so is this a long-term vision of Lake County to do more and more of these, or what's the plan there?
I think, I will say this, that if people are interested, Lake County Soil and Water does have funding available for cost share projects of this sort, and we'd be happy to work with people if they wanted to limit the mowing that they're doing and have pollinator plantings instead. It's much more aesthetically pleasing, and as we get older, it's easier on our backs to not mow, and
right,
and especially these warm days that are coming up, if you don't have to get the lawnmower out there, it sure saves on a lot of personal energy.
Yeah, is it an all or nothing thing? Like if you have a yard in town, as we do you kind of have to let it all go to something new, or is it possible to just have it be take a part of it or a square footage?
In general, we would like it to be a large enough area that it can be self-sustaining.
Yeah, okay.
You just don't want to have a couple of plots next to the house. There's a fine line between landscaping and pollinator plantings. Some great places for these are that wet area in your lawn that never seems to dry out. These plants do really well in those areas, and they actually can make it so you don't have to get your mower stuck in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a good... It's not too late in the year? I mean, I know it's being hot, but it's still only June 1st. So what's the best time to start these?
Plants need a lot of TLC when it's really hot out. Now, the good news is, if you go 20 miles inland, it's 20 degrees hotter this weekend. So here along the shore, we've got a lot more temperate weather, and you can get away planting, putting plants in later and later in the year. It's also the types of plants you get might be a little bit different. You get plants that are older. Mm-hmm. They've been growing in the greenhouse since early spring, and so now they're actually getting taller now, even in the greenhouse. So if you can find the plants, it's a good time to put them in. And you know, we've got the greenhouse in town, and I'm sure that they will have plants available.
Yeah, and we just talked with Jadel an hour ago about how it's actually too early to plant in much of her territory, as far as tiny little seedlings that are going to die if there's a little bit of a frost. Because you know, historically, that certainly still could be in the picture. I know last year we had a June frost, and so it's kind of a dance, isn't it?
It is. I was up in the Boundary Waters last week, and it was 28 degrees when I woke up one morning.
Really? So. Even last week?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Wow. Were the bugs out?
Bugs were out.
Black flies, mosquitoes, both?
They weren't really bad. The black flies were the worst. Not many mosquitoes.
Okay. Well, I don't know. The young black flies can be pretty nasty.
I still got a few itches from them.
I bet. Oh, wow. And then anything else from Lake? Do you want to just give us a quick, how did Lake County Soil and Water survive the pandemic? Not that it's over, but assuming we're kind of coming on the downslide.
Yeah, I guess one of the big things to announce about the pandemic is as of January or June 1st, the city council, city meetings, public meetings are now open to the public to come in to the council chambers and attend any of the committee or council meetings that are coming up. So that's
Hooray.
Really big news.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that you have missed out on your opportunity to just tap in on a Zoom call, because for the short term, they will be hybrid meetings, meaning that they will be aired via Zoom, so you can still sit in the comfort of your living room drinking a beer and looking at a council meeting or a committee meeting. So
there's absolutely no excuse now to not take part in your city's happenings.
Yep, you can walk to the city hall, or you can just log on to the line, and those notices are all on the city website.
Yep.
So to get back to your original question, how did the SWCD weather the pandemic? We largely did a lot of the same things we did do already. A lot of it, we're working with individual property owners on their property, so it tends to be outside. And we conducted these meetings and provided our technical assistance. We were hampered in a lot of our public outreach events, mm-hmm. in that we couldn't really have our meetings at people's homes or in the town halls to talk about projects. We tried to do these type of things using Zoom, and it actually worked well. Ironically, they do work well for people who are only up in the area on weekends, people who are weekenders, but still have property up here. They can attend a meeting without having to be here at their cabin.
Right.
We're going to be continuing that. We do have an upcoming outreach grant for people who have lakeshore property and are concerned about erosion. And so that'll be coming up within a month here, that people can find out answers on what they can do to protect their property. We'll be meeting with property owners, realtors, contractors, and even the people who issue permits around here on what the best way to deal with the lake is.
That's great. I mean, that is a huge deal and very important to be accessible. I'm sure that it is the outreach part of your work that probably has suffered the most, but you're still doing the same things on the earth itself that you were doing before the pandemic.
Yeah, one of the biggest outreach events we have scheduled is coming up a week from tomorrow, and we're going to be working with the Girl Scouts. And the Girl Scouts are planning to get 25 scouts and 25 parents and help us replant the white pines that have not survived out at the campground.
Wow, so that's great.
It just kind of came together really quick, and the city's happy to work with us. The Trees and Trails is tired of looking at the dead trees, and so we'll be having the Girl Scouts out there, and it's an ideal thing. It will be public. We will have space between people because these trees aren't closer than 6 feet apart.
Right. So many outdoor things lend themselves well to that kind of work. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Derek. I know you have an important meeting to go to now, but thanks for taking the time to come to the studio and give us an update, and we'll have you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. That was Derek Passy of the Lake County Soil and Water, also a city council member. That interview will be rebroadcast as part of what's happening on Sunday at, I believe, 1:30. Nope, 1 o'clock, 1 to 1:30. And stay tuned in just a minute for Kenny Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits. Thanks for listening to KTWH. Thank you. All right, here we are on KTWH, What's Happening? And I have, not in the studio, but on the phone, my regular weather guy, Kenny Blumenfeld, from the climatologist from the Department of Natural Resources. Thank you so much, Kenny, for coming on again here at 9:20 on a Friday morning.
Yeah, welcome back. Always glad to talk to you. Welcome back to the mainland.
Absolutely, yes. Well, so we've had a month on our sailboat on Lake Superior, and as I'm sure you're going to wonder and ask, we had an absolute variety of everything as far as weather. And we had, you know, the one thing that I've noticed for sure is that when it gets really hot on land in May, what happens on the lake is fog. And so we did have some serious fog sailing in the open water. We had one passage where we left at dusk from Houghton, from the Keweenaw Peninsula, and arrived at Taconite Harbor on the North Shore by noon the next day, and had been, really could not see more than 30 feet the entire trip. Even though there was a good breeze, and it was so thick when we got into Taconite Harbor that we actually missed our entrance, even though we had four people glued to the bow watching and my own eyes on the radar, and you just could not even see to get in there. So that's my little fog story. But so it's been quite a month, and I know it's been quite a month on shore too.
Yeah, although, you know, maybe you'd rather experience it out in the out on the water. Well, I'm glad you were able to make it to harbor despite the fog. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of this I've discussed with Leo in your absence. It's been, you know, kind of a wild ride, and we've had rain, we've had dry periods, we had some pretty strong humidity and heating, and now I'm not sure exactly when you got back, but we are sliding into a mammoth heat wave.
Yeah, so, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing we on the North Shore will be slightly protected from the worst of it because of any breeze off the lake cools everything. But is it just an enormous, typical summer heat wave that we're about to experience here?
Well, it's kind of a two or possibly three, four, five headed heat wave. It's the first part is really typical of early summer. This is when winds come out of the southwest. So I think it'll be close on the North Shore. You know, Grand Marais is almost certain to be cool.
Yeah.
Two harbors, and especially if you just go a few miles inland, I think you'll see a big difference.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, we're looking at 90 degree readings or better today and tomorrow across the rest of the state. I mean, right up, International Falls could exceed 95 degrees.
Whoa.
International Falls up on the border.
Whoa.
And it's not just them. I mean, it's the northwest angle. It's, it's going to be a scorcher. This is a dry heat, the kind where, you know, instead of just sweating profusely from the mere activity of thinking, you kind of run the risk of bursting into flames. It's going to be kind of breezy, dry, and hot for, again, everyone except the near North Shore.
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow. Then things kind of change. You start getting some thunderstorms. I wouldn't be surprised if there are thunderstorms on and off this weekend in northern Minnesota. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to include two harbors. You know, the general life cycle of storms in this kind of pattern is they start out in the Dakotas or in Manitoba, and then they kind of track overnight through northern Minnesota. And by the time they get to the North Shore, they're pretty well spent.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much of that activity you'll see, but up on the far northern border, as early as tonight, late tonight, you might start seeing some scattered thunderstorms. But by Sunday, it becomes kind of a different pattern. And instead of the scorching heat, we get a slight southeasterly component to the wind. So that will, I think, keep, you know, that'll keep things from being too hot, and certainly in two harbors.
Yep.
But most of the state's going to become very warm and humid at that point. We'll see the increase in dew point temperatures, which is a kind of measure of how much moisture is in the air. And then it's just going to become soggier. And then from Sunday night, especially Monday, right through next week, here's what's in the cards. Either it's just going to be steamy, or it's going to be slightly less hot because of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
On and off, almost anywhere in the state. Kind of, when you have this much heat and humidity this early in the season, it's pretty easy to fire up some big thunderstorms dropping heavy rain, and they kind of create their own weather where they go. And so wherever those thunderstorms do go, it's going to kind of change the weather for a day or so. But if they don't materialize, or if they remain only nocturnal creatures, then it's just going to be a tropical week. Tropical week. Again, in two harbors in particular, things look a little more promising. Temperatures maybe in the 70s most of next week.
Yeah.
And that's, again, because we're looking at winds coming basically off the lake.
Right.
Like you don't have to go far. I mean, pick your favorite Iron Range town, and it's going to be a different song.
Yeah.
So, it looks like an interesting, muggy, potentially thundery week.
Any guess as to when it's going to let up for real?
Well, there's kind of two camps on when it ends. So first off, I think your listeners all know, they're all smart, weather savvy people, and they know that meteorologists don't have much insight beyond 8, 9. Yeah, if we could just end the sentence right there.
Yeah.
But meteorologists don't have much insight beyond 7, 8, 9 days, and things get really murky after about 10 days. So here are the two camps. One is that a kind of cold front comes through next weekend, Friday or Saturday, and washes the warm air, pushes it down into the Ohio River Valley for several days. And that would be leaving us with nice northwesterly flow.
Yep.
There's one scenario. The other scenario is the warm air kind of bobs and weaves, maybe gets as far south as Iowa, but frequently surges back. I mean, I've seen, of the three big forecast models that go out 10 days or more, only one of them advertises that, that big cold front pushing the air down to the Ohio Valley, and the other two keep us hot and humid for 10 days. And I should mention that even if that GFS model, the one that did cool us off a bit, it's not until next Friday or Saturday that would even happen. So we're looking at a good 7 days of mostly warm conditions. But for your listeners, they might be thinking, well, that's much ado about not much, because, in the near shore areas, temperatures, you'll have a warm weekend, but I don't think you're going to see the same conditions of extreme heat that you see farther inland. And next week, when everyone else is really warm and humid, you'll have, you'll be reasonably comfortable because of the lake. So.
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of payback time on the lake, I think. It's because we really do seem to have the one pretty manageable set of forecasts. And I think most people are understanding that and appreciating it. I wonder how it's going to affect our traffic, too.
I like that you said payback time. Payback for what?
Well, because it's funny, because normally our spring is considered the payoff time, where we are freezing and there's a bitter wind coming off the lake and everyone else has flowers growing and... and sun. But this year it really has not been quite like that, I have to say. So I don't know what we're paying back, actually.
When I think of Lake Superior as, one of the true treasures of the state, it's just a gift to be near it at any time.
Right.
And what's interesting, though, is You know, we're talking about the North Shore, and technically that begins at Duluth. Well, the Duluth Harbor is probably the whole area, you know, the Park Point area, they're going to be melting.
Yeah.
Because that southeasterly flow is not going to come off the lake. Instead, it's going to come from the northwest Wisconsin forests, which are going to be a steam bath.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to you're going to see the swimmers out. You're going to see the swimmers out in parts of, you know, once you get to the South Shore,
yeah,
it's going to be a different story.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I know you got to run here, but this. If we don't get the precipitation that is possible, and if we don't get it sort of widespread and meaningfully, then we're going to look at probably a fairly dire escalation of drought conditions in Minnesota,
okay.
Especially in the Northwest. That's kind of where we're most concerned.
Okay.
We'll
touch on base on that for sure next week when we know more.
We will do that. Very good. Well, welcome back. Good
Thank
talking
you.
With
you.
You
too, Kenny. We'll touch base again next week. Sounds great.
Great.
Bye-bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld. He is a climatologist for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and we are moving on. Thanks for listening to your local music station.